Praise the Lord. You know, this is literally the last few hours of 2017. And if you're like me, we had some wonderful things happen this year. We've also had some things happen this year that I'm going to decide I'm not going to take into 2018. You know, I look at each year as a trip, a journey. And I pack carefully when I travel. You know, you take the necessary things with you. You don't want more luggage. You need all the luggage that you need, but you don't want more. Isn't that right? And so you have to examine what you have. And if you're like me, I travel often enough that I have separate things that I just have to travel, and I can pick those things up. And they're usually smaller, and they're lighter. I want to travel as light as I can because I want to get there as easy as I can, and I want to enjoy it as much as possible. And so I don't take everything I've got, you know. And then there's some things that just would hinder me in my journey, not necessarily even bad things in themselves, but it would hinder me in my journey. And when I'm traveling, and in 2018, there's things that we got to choose to take in with us, and there's things we got to choose not to take with us. Amen. You say, well, Brother Yoder, what are some of the things that I don't want to take with me? Well, you don't want to take any unforgiveness into 2018. You don't want to take any guilt into 2018. You don't want to take any condemnation into 2018. No shame into 2018. Just leave it all behind. You know what I'm saying? No sin. No sin in 2018. Got to leave all of that behind. You know, the regrets that you might have of things in the past. Don't carry that with you anymore. Learn to travel without that. I remember for years I had a certain thing that I, decisions that I had made years ago, and I went a number of years and just looked at that with regret. Looked at that with regret. And one day the Lord asked me a question. And he said this: did you do what you knew to do at the time? And I said, yes, sir, Lord, I really did. I said, I thought I did what was right. I did what I knew. I walked in the light that I had at that time. And he said, that's all I ask of you. And that was the moment I let the regret go. I said, okay, we're not going to carry that with us anymore through life. Sometimes you got to learn to just look at all those things, stop the regrets and say, look, I did the best I knew at the time. Maybe it wasn't perfect. Maybe it didn't work right. But on the other hand, God's not holding it against you. Amen. So I got to learn to let those things go. Before we get in our message tonight, I just felt impressed that we're going to let those things go. Whatever it is that that we don't want to take into 2018, it might be worries, it might be fears, it might be cares, it might be burdens, it might be whatever it might be that you know is not of the Lord. Do you know what I'm saying? The enemy comes, or life has handed you some things. You say, I'm not taking that into 2018 at all, in the name of Jesus. So let's lift our hands up and let's just do that right now. In the name of Jesus, you come on, you pray the way you want to, but in the name of Jesus, we cut off those things. We leave it behind in the name of Jesus. We are not taking those things into 2018. I'm not taking shame. I'm not taking guilt. I'm not taking condemnation, not taking worry, not taking sin, not taking burden, not taking sickness and disease, not taking poverty into 2018. No, in the name of Jesus, we loose ourselves from that right now in the name of Jesus. And we declare that we are stepping forward into 2018 now in Jesus' name. Somebody ought to take a step forward, just a step of faith right now. Just do it. Just a step of faith. I moved beyond that now. I left it behind in Jesus' name. Ah. Now take another step. Just take another step. Just dare you to take another step. Just go on. Just take another step. Just go on. It doesn't matter if you get clear to the front. You do whatever steps you take just to say, I'm blessed, God. I'm walking in the newness of life. Glory to God. I'm walking in some things in 2018 that I didn't walk in last year, but now's my time. In Jesus' name. Ha, ha, ha. Now just say that. Ha, ha, ha. The devil's not going to hold me back. Those things that the enemy designed will not work for me in 2018. Because I know too much. Say that with me. I know too much. I know my authority. I know the word. I know God is faithful. And I know that the enemy is defeated. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Walking forward in the good things of God. Amen. All right, there we go. Now we're going to move forward now, and I'm going to talk to you tonight about walking with God. You can be seated. I'm going to talk about walking with God, or you could call it the operation of God in our lives. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. It's so wonderful to see all of you here tonight, New Year's Eve. Glory to God. Isn't church a good place to be? I'm telling you, it's a good place to be. I've been a lot of places before I started going to church. I've been in a lot of places on New Year's Eve, and none of them has been as good as this. Hallelujah. I can tell you that. I know some of you wonder, where'd you go? Where'd you go? Well, that's been left behind. Left behind. Glory to God. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. I'm going to read down through verse 18. And it says, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I want to focus mostly on this little phrase right here in verse 16, where Paul said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. The Amplified Version says, I will dwell in them and with and among them, and will walk in and with and among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And so we see here that God is declaring some things here about his people and what he wants to do and what he wants to be. And did I mention to you tonight the plan for tonight? I'm going the first hour. Brother Bill's going the second hour. And by the time he gets done, I'm doing the third hour. And we're going to keep going. Some of you checked out right there. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. We're not doing that. Brother Bill's glad too, because that was the first he heard of it. Amen. But you know, God wants to do some things in our lives. You know, it doesn't take long to receive from God. Come on now. The only reason it would take long to receive is because we're slow to do it. Or we have ideas about how God could do it. You know, I remember back several decades ago, that was this popular thing. You know, church ran late on Sunday morning because it seemed like God couldn't move until about 12 o'clock noon. And then, you know, and then we got moving. And then, of course, you know, you don't stop the Spirit of God from moving, you know. But the truth of the matter is we could have had him moving at 9 o'clock. Because, you know, on the day of Pentecost, that was about 9 o'clock in the morning, wasn't it, Brother Bill? Something like that. It's too early to get drunk with old wine, but it wasn't too early to get drunk with new wine. Amen. That right? And so I just want to tell you tonight, it doesn't take long to receive from God. And we can get something from God tonight in just a little bit. And so He says here, I will dwell in you. And he said, I will walk among you or with you. The word dwell is a Greek word, anoikeo, and it means to inhabit. That means that he has set up a residence inside of us. I don't know how he does that. I don't know how he fits in, but he does. And on the other, and then the word walk, emperipateho, it means to be occupied among persons. God is occupied here. He occupied here. He's not just here, but he has occupied himself with some things. You know, something, you know, you ever have somebody on the, you don't have to look at me, you know, you don't have to look around or anything, but you ever have watched somebody on the job that's there, but they're not occupied with anything. They're just there. You know, there's a difference between just being there and occupying themselves with doing something. And actually, Joseph Benson said this about this verse. He said the former, meaning dwelling, signifies his perpetual presence. The latter, talking about him walking amongst us, refers to his operation amongst us. I not only want God to dwell in me, which he is, but I want him to be in operation. I want him to be working in my life. I don't want him to be sitting down and you know, in a recliner and sitting back and clicking the remote on a big screen TV because that's all I'll let him do. I want him to be occupied in my life. I want him operating in my life. I want him moving in my life. And so this is what we're talking about tonight. Albert Barnes said this in regard to this phrase, which is actually a quote from Leviticus 26:12. Paul actually brought it forward. And speaking of God dwelling in the tabernacle in the midst of the Israelites, and Albert Barnes said that this means I will walk among them, I will be one of their number. In other words, he is here as one of us. That doesn't mean that he's reduced himself down to being a human being once again, because Jesus did that one time and that's all that was ever necessary. But you understand that he is here in amongst us. He is a spirit, the Bible says, but he is amongst us who are recreated, born again spirits. Amen. Because that's what we are. And so he goes and says that, and Albert Barnes goes on and says he was present among the Jews by the public manifestation of his presence by a symbol, which would be the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies and things that were in that. And he says he is present with Christians by the presence and guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so he is here by the Holy Spirit. He's here. He's here. He's not near, which means, you know, 71st and Elm would be near. You understand what I mean? Out there on the road would be near. In the driveway would be near. In the lobbies would be near. But you know, he's here. There's sometimes a big difference between near and here. And so you got to understand, don't put him any further off than he is. He is here. We know he's also all those other places. We know he's transcended over all of us, but over everything, but he's also here. Amen. Isn't that right? And so God makes his home in us and walks with those who walk with him. And according to verse 18, he says here in verse 18, I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So you can get out of that right there that he will walk with us and operate in us, in our lives, as a father does a child, his child. Not as a stern taskmaster, a hard taskmaster that can't be pleased, but a father who takes care of his children, who watches over his children, who loves his children and does things for them. When I was a kid growing up, we had horses and we would feed them, you know, while we were milking the cows, but we didn't turn the horses out into the pasture right away after we got done with the cows, because we fed the cows hay after that. And if you turn the horses out, those horses just run the cattle off and eat the hay. And so we'd leave the horses inside while the cattle ate the hay. In the meantime, we went in and ate dinner, or supper as we called it back then. And so after dinner, my dad would look at either my brother or myself, and he'd say, "Go turn the horses out into the pasture." Well, by that time, many times it was dark. And I was afraid of the dark. I was afraid of what might be in that dark barn. You ever walk up to a barn in the dark and the door is so dark you can't see in it? You can't see what's in there. Could be anything. Kind of, you know what I mean. And that's how I felt. I felt somebody's just waiting on the inside. But, you know, I slipped right up beside the door. I didn't just walk in there, you know, naive like, you know. And I walked up and flipped the barn door open and waited. Tricked him. And then I jumped through the doorway. And you know, in case there was somebody there. But once in a while, my dad would say, "Let's go turn out the horses." And it was a whole different story when my dad walked out with me. Now, when dad went, we always had two dogs. And whenever dad went, the dogs always came along. So dad, now listen to this, dad didn't come with me empty-handed. He came with what he had, and I knew there wasn't any need to be afraid, because my dad is watching over me with what he has. And I want you to know that our Heavenly Father is watching over us with what he has. He is not in our lives. He didn't come into our lives empty-handed. Not empty-handed. And so I want you to get a hold of this statement that God has committed himself to walk with us every step of the way through life. He has committed himself to do that. He said, "I will walk among you." And so God has committed to walk with you so that where you walk, God will walk. Where you go, God will go. Where you stand, God will stand. That's his commitment to you. And so God is committed to walk with you every step, even if your walk is not perfect. Sometimes we think that God only walks with us if we don't make any mistakes. But the truth is that he's right there when we make the mistakes and when we make the don't get it right, or we take a step off of the path that we're in that he intended for us to walk. And so, but the truth of the matter is, he doesn't give up on us. So he doesn't give up on us as soon as we make a mistake, throw his hands up and says, "I knew you couldn't do it." He didn't do that. He stands right there. And he speaks into our lives to come walk with him again. He walks with us every step of the way. Even when there's mistakes, even when things don't go the way that we know that the Word says it should go. Because things happen. How many of you know things happen? And challenges come. But I want you to know something. Just because something didn't go right doesn't mean God disappeared. No, God's right there. And the truth is, he's holding us. He's holding our hand. He's stabilizing us. He's strengthening us. He's keeping us. He keeps us looking the right direction. He has a word that will make us able to take another step when we don't feel like taking another step. He really does. I can't begin to describe the way that God is faithful in walking with his people, walking with us every step of the way. The only way God won't walk with you who are born again is if you totally and 100% do not want him in your life, and you consciously and knowingly reject him and everything he has for you from being a part of your life. But you see, no person in their right mind would do that, not having discovered the goodness of God. And how many times has God been all that we had going for us in the midst of everything? Do you understand what I mean? And I want you to know God is there for us. Amen? So God has committed himself and everything that he has to us as we walk with him. He has come with all his power and his ability. He has come with all his knowledge and wisdom. He's come with all his righteousness, his peace, and his love. He's come with his provision and his protection. He's come with his healing and deliverance. He's come with his plans and his guidance. He's come with everything that he has. He didn't come empty-handed. He's not like, you know, you call somebody to come work on your car and they come and they don't bring their tools. So, well, I would fix it, but I don't have any tools with me. Not like that. What he has, he brings with him. He always has it with him. And he brings that along. And when you need something, he's right there. He has what you need. He has what you need. Isn't that right? And so we cannot begin to describe fully the reality of him walking with us. It is beyond our description to describe how wonderful that is. To know when you lay your head on the pillow, God's right there. When you wake up in the morning, God's right there. In the heat of the day, God is right there. In the cool of the evening, God is right there. When we're busy and when we're not. When we got more than we can do and when we're resting. When the challenges come and when the trouble knocks at our door, he's right there. He's walking with us. Somebody said, well, if he's really right there, he has enough power to keep all the bad stuff from happening to us. Why doesn't he do that? That's a question you're going to ask him when you get to heaven, if you're still wondering. Because I don't know that any man can fully answer that question, but I do know this, that sometimes the trouble is removed and it disappears. Sometimes he takes us a detour around the trouble and saves us the grief of walking through that. But there are other times when he takes us right through the middle of it. And he's God all the way. And he is more than enough. And I don't know what criteria he uses to decide what he's going to do in every situation. I just know this, that the same God who makes something disappear that we never even experience is the same God who walks with us through whatever it is we go through. Amen. And he's more than enough. Isn't that right? Now let me tell you something else tonight, and that is this. Since he has committed himself to walk with us every step of the way, we must commit ourselves also to walk with him every step of the way through life. this message is so simple. So simple. But at 5:30 this morning, the Lord woke me up and told me, he said, I want to tell you some things. And so I'm telling you what he told me. And so we must walk with God. He walks with us. Let us walk with him. Let's walk with God in our thoughts. You know, you could take, you let your thoughts go here and there. In the middle of the worship, you could be thinking about lots of other things. You could go through worship and never even think about Jesus. You really know, you know that? Songs are singing. Cindy's doing a good job, you know. All the singers are singing. The musicians are playing well. It's all flowing and I'm just in it and I'm thinking, uh-oh. You see what I'm saying? And so sometimes in our thought life, we really don't walk with God. But I want to encourage you, take control of your thought life. Arrest those thoughts that want to come through and say, you get out of here. And I'm walking with God. I'm thinking God thoughts. Walk with God in your desires, your attitudes, and your emotions. Walk with God. Don't entertain desires that are not in line with what God's plan is for your life. Some desires are good in themselves, but they're just not for us. With the plan that God has for us. You know what I'm saying? You know, if I have a desire to do music, you know, I guess I could pursue it. But, you know, sometimes, you know, really what's better for me is to do what I'm doing right now rather than pursuing music, because music's really not the plan that God has for my life. I know that because if that would be part of the plan, God would have gifted me with that way. Do you know what I'm saying? And so we need to walk with God in our words that we speak. I understand more and more why Brother Hagin was a man of few words. Pastor Hagin is really a quiet person in many cases. I've been in many meetings where lots of people did a lot more talking than he did. And I just want to tell you, listen to me. Listen to me. The value of our words cannot be emphasized enough. Walk with God in our words, speaking the word that he would speak. In other words, when you're going through something, you ought to ask yourself, what would God say in this situation? Isn't that right? Yes. And once you know, he said, well, I don't know. What would he say? Well, you got it written down in your Bible. He wrote it down for you. He says, so I want you to know what I would say when this happens or that happens. And we've got to learn to speak the same thing. And in our conduct, we ought to walk with God in our conduct. The way we act, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we operate in life. Walk with God in that way. You see, as we walk with God, we can do that because God is greater than anything. Amen. Anything. God is greater than anything. I had the Lord tell me this one time, said, if you don't think that I'm greater than anything, if you don't think that I'm greater than anything, then you haven't been spending enough time with me. So he chose to increase my time with him because I want him to be as big as possible in my life. Isn't that right? I want him to be bigger than anything else. And so 1 John 4:4 says, you have God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Isn't that right? Oh, if we could capture the reality of that, the year 2018 would be different. It'd be much different. How many times do we not attempt something or are afraid to do something simply because we don't have enough of the revelation of how big God is and how much He wants to be involved in our life? And if we really believe that God's walking with us step by step, then fear would be gone and we'd be able to step out and move with God. God has promised to be our helper. And if we think that God can't help us in the situation we're in, we need to go back to the Word, because He is our helper. I'm reminded of an incident over in Matthew chapter 14, verse 25. We'll begin with verse 25 through 32. He says, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered Him and said, "Lord, if it's You, command me to come to You on the water." I would imagine he said that before he thought of the full implications of that. Because the wind was already blowing and the waves were already tossing. And so, and the fact that you can't do it in the natural, you know. Anyway, and so, verse 29, and so he said, "Come." And when Peter come out down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand, caught him, and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And we see here Peter coming to Jesus in the midst of his circumstances, because he saw or heard the word that Jesus spoke, the invitation to come. Sometimes our coming to God isn't all that pretty. Matter of fact, it many times it isn't. We come as we are. We don't come perfectly. And yet God reaches out His hand when we come, and He pulls us up. Now, there's something that many times in this story that we haven't noticed as much as possible. But if you look in verse 32, it says, when they got into the boat. You ever stop and think about that? How did they get to the boat and get into the boat? Here's the deal. I believe that the greatest revelation of that, the greatest picture you can get out of that, is that once Peter and Jesus were together walking on the water, they walked very successfully together back to the boat. It is a picture of the believer walking with God and God with them, and through the difficulties and the impossibilities, the difficulties and the troubles of life, no matter what it is, God is there holding us and keeping us and encouraging us and guiding us to the place that we need to go. Amen. And so I'm very confident of this. When I look at that, I'm encouraged. Peter didn't get it right, but God reached out His hand to him and pulled him back up. He asked him a question. He got little faith, but he had enough faith to at least cry out to God when he was sinking, to come to Jesus when he was sinking, when Jesus said to. And so I think of when two people are talking to each other. Did you ever notice this? Two people, when we start talking to somebody else, we don't really notice everything else that goes on. And I think sometimes we don't talk to God enough, to the point where we notice what He says and disregard what's going on around us. Have you ever watched two people in love and they talk to each other, and it's almost like the world, whole world revolves around just those two and their love for each other and the conversations they have for each other and the things that they want to do together, you know, and so forth. And they're almost oblivious of everything else. And you know, it really doesn't matter so much, you know, and they, you understand what I mean. If you're really in love with Jesus, let me tell you something. Some of these things shouldn't matter so much. There's what's the old song? The things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory. Isn't that right? Amen. And so we realize that there is a life that we can have. There are 9 ways that the New Testament tells us to walk. Not legalistically, not as a duty especially, although it is our duty, but it's far more than that. Because walking in these ways allows God to work freely, operate freely in our lives. We want Him to move supernaturally, but there's a certain way to walk. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:2 to walk in love. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:7 to walk by faith. It says in Ephesians 5:8 to walk in the light or the knowledge and the glory of God. In Ephesians 5:15 it says to walk in wisdom or to walk circumspectly. Galatians 5:16 says walk in the Spirit. Amen. Romans 6:4 says walk in the newness of life. In other words, in the revelation of the new life that you have in Christ. 1 Corinthians 7:17 says to walk in the calling that God has placed upon our life, whatever that is. Colossians 1:10 says, let us walk worthy of the Lord. Worthy. And this is one in particular that I like. 3 John chapter 1, it's only one chapter, but that in that chapter, verses 3 and 4, John rejoiced that believers that he had written the letters to and that he had been in charge of, that they walked in the truth of God's word. And I want to tell you, we ought to walk in truth. We ought to attempt to walk in the word of God and allow that to influence us, guide our steps. Isn't that right? I'm going to end this by saying this. The acrostic, the word walk, reveals 4 things that you can do to improve your walk with God in this next year. And you can find those things indicated in the verses that we read at the beginning, 2 Corinthians 6, 16 through 18. But the word, the letter W, it indicates to wisely choose your friends. Isn't that right? How many of you ever noticed you can't serve God by walking with everybody? Because some people aren't going the right direction. Isn't that right? Doesn't mean we don't help people. Doesn't mean when people need help, we're willing to stop and help them. Absolutely. We'll help anybody. Jesus helped everybody, but He didn't walk with everybody. So that's the W. The A, accurately study the Word. Accurately study the Word. Look into the Word of God. Don't forget the promise of God. Paul brought forth the promise of God out of Leviticus 26:12. He brought it forward into the New Testament. He was not forgetful of what was written down in his day. And we ought not be forgetful of what's been written down for us to help us in our walk with God. And when we know those things and know what the Word says, we can accurately walk in the Word. It allows the Lord to help us and to walk with us and operate in our lives freely. The letter L, listen to the Holy Spirit living and operating in you. He has taken up residence inside of you. We ought to listen to him. Don't make him a neglected guest. Don't make him somebody that you forget to talk to when you need advice or when you need answers or something like that. Talk to him. Because how many of you know he knows it all? And like I said many times already, the answer you need is only about 18 to 20 inches away from your mind. It really is. Because he lives in you here. Maybe take a tape measure and measure how far away your answer is. Not very far. Listen to the Holy Spirit living and operating in you. And then K. The letter K, know God as a child would their father. Know God as a child would their father. I believe that if you'll look at God as your heavenly father, rather than whatever experience you had in this life, understand he's a good, good father, much better than any earthly father ever could be. If you didn't have a good earthly father, don't let that be a hindrance in you looking at God as your heavenly father, as a good father. I'm deeply saddened when I hear of people who didn't have a good earthly father. And I want to tell you, God is a good, good father. If you'll look at him the right way, he'll make it up to you, whatever you didn't have in this life. Amen. And I want to encourage you with that tonight. As we stand to your feet, we've gone long enough. It's Brother Bill's turn now. Amen. I just sense the presence of God in this place. How many of you know he's here? How many of you know he's right where you are? He's not just down front here, but he's right where you are. Isn't that something? Let us ask him for his help in 2017. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for every person here tonight, for those that are watching online in any way. We pray. Lord, I thank you that you are the helper. I thank you that you've promised to help us, to walk with us every step of the way. I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your word that gives us the ability to put our trust in you. That, Father God, as we hear your word, that our confidence grows, our faith grows. We are willing to put our life into your hands and walk with you and acknowledge that you know the best way. You know the right path. You know what to take along in this journey and what to leave behind. And I thank you, Father, that as we step into 2017, our prayer is 2018, rather. I pray that the unseen would become seen. Hallelujah. That that which we have believed for should come to pass. That which has been spoken in the Word would manifest in our midst. The goodness of God that is spoken of in the Word would be a reality in our lives. And that, Father God, that we would allow Him, allow you, Lord God, we'd allow you to speak into our lives, to hold our hand, to guide us, to direct us, to show us the way to go. And that we would trust you enough to not argue with you, to go astray or to go our own way, but to go the right way. Go with you and be positioned to receive what you intend for us to have and to experience and have the opportunities that you would desire for us. In Jesus' name, we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We believe 2018 will be a good year. Not because I have any special knowledge, but because I know there's going to be a Heavenly Father, a good, good Father that's walking with us. Amen. and He will make it good. Hallelujah. Prayer teams are coming down. Ladies over here and the men over here. And if you're the men, come over here to see the guys. If you need prayer for anything, ladies, come over here and see the ladies. If you need something, prayer for anything, that's what they're here for tonight. And so we're glad for that. Connection team, if you would find those wonderful first-time guests that we had tonight, take them to the West Lobby to give them that wonderful gift that's been prepared for them. Let's give our first-time guests a great big hand as they go. And we appreciate them coming out and braving the elements to come out on a cold night. And so, anyway, we praise God for all of you tonight. And we believe for God to have great things. Have a happy new year. God bless you. And don't forget, Wednesday night, Hour of Power. Pastor Hagin will be here. And or next Sunday, whichever it might be for you. But we know this. Once again, God has promised to walk with us. Let us walk with Him. Amen.